This preview of the Survivor Millennials is sponsored by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is a big hit at our house, right, Nicole?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, very excited to talk about Blue Apron. Every Thursday, the box comes with all the stuff from Blue Apron. Nicole, you're the person who is opening the box and getting into the Blue Apron. You like it?
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
It makes me seem like I'm a good cook.
Even you can follow the directions, right?
It has pictures.
It has pictures,
yes.
Right? No, Nicole comes up with some good stuff. You know, Nicole, cooking together builds strong family bonds.
And we're stronger than ever.
Yes, yes. Is that because of the Blue Apron?
It must be.
Because of the Blue Apron.
It must be.
Yeah. They've shown that people who spend a lot eating out or at high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 a person for a healthy, delicious meal from Blue Apron. They've got some delicious stuff coming. The spiced pork burgers. Did we have that
yet?
We
did have that one. Yes. That was good.
That was a hit. Also, the summer vegetable quinoa bowl.
Oh, we haven't had that one yet.
Fairy tale eggplants. Looking forward to that one. Not all ingredients are created equal. Blue Apron's got fresh, high-quality ingredients that taste better and are better for you for less than $10 a meal. Blue Apron's got seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And that's good. You hate measuring.
I don't like it. It comes all measured for you.
That's not a bit. You hate measuring.
It's very true.
Yeah, you will.
You never measure. Yeah.
That's why Blue Apron is good.
Perfect.
They give you the
yes.
right amount of stuff. Because Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. And they have the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers like Rancher Rick. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. With plenty of variety, a flexible schedule, and with easy step-by-step directions on an easy-to-follow recipe card. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rob. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here he is, the pilot of the Millennial Falcon, Punch It, Chewy, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our part one of our Millennials versus Gen X preview, talking about all 10 Survivor Millennials that will be participating in season 33 of Survivor. And back with me for the 13th Survivor season in a row for a preview, Nicole Stradamus, Nicole Cesternino. Nicole, how are you?
I am amazing.
Amazing. Yes. Let's get your microphone in a good spot for you. Right there. Because it's usually in one place. And then Nicole moves between when we start the show and when we're ready to go. But Nicole,
I'm very animated.
All right. Yeah, of course. And very excited to be back with you for the 13th Survivor season. The first season we did a preview for was all the way back with Survivor Nicaragua back in the fall of the year 2010, back before any of these millennials were born.
Mm-hmm.
And then now here we are today, Nicole.
Yes.
Yes.
We've come a long way, baby.
Yes, we've come a long way, and we're ready to go here talking about these 10 millennials. So the way that we're going to do this is part one is going to be tonight.
Yes.
And then we're going to put this out. And then I believe then next week, because I mean we have 4 weeks to go. We're a little bit ahead of the curve right now in terms of where we stand, in terms of usually we've done the preview probably about like 2 weeks before the season starts. But Nicole and I are heading back to New York next week. And so we're going to just try to get these in the can for you guys. And then we'll do one this week and then we'll split it up, sort of like stretch out the Survivor preseason. And then, of course, later on down the road, we still got a lot more preseason to do. Corinne Kaplan will be back once again to mark the 5-year anniversary of her doing a brutal cast assessment on Rob as a Podcast.
Yes.
That's coming. That's coming. So probably look for that. We've tended to do that around about a week before. That's like the real home stretch. So
yes,
probably sometime mid-September, be on the lookout for that. Angie Kontz is going to come in. I'm also going to be speaking with a woman, Jamie Gutfreund, who I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, but mm-hmm. she is the global chief marketing officer for Wonderman. And she is a professional speaker and writer who has talked extensively about the differences between millennials and Generation Xers. Going to have a podcast also talking about that, getting into a little bit of a deep dive into the millennials and Gen Xers outside of a Survivor context.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Should be very polarizing.
Yes.
So a lot to do here in the Survivor preseason. Of course, Stephen Fishback and I are also in the midst of podcasting about Australian Survivor. Nicole, any interest in Australian Survivor?
I do love my Australians.
Yes. Okay. Well, maybe you might like Australian Survivor.
I bet I would.
Okay. So a lot of stuff going on in the midst of all of the Big Brother. And then also we did a first boot draft earlier this week as well with myself and Kurt Clark, Angie Contz, and Sarah Freeman.
So busy.
Very busy, Nicole. Mm-hmm. And of course, getting ready for Big Brother Digital this fall in addition to Survivor.
Because you don't have enough to do.
Yeah. And the post-show recap. So it's all happening, but very excited to be in the midst of everything that's happening right now on Rob Has a Podcast, and very happy to have everybody back who is, you know, maybe doesn't follow the Big Brother, maybe checks out during the summer. So welcome home, ready to go.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yes. And for the uninitiated, if you're joining us here for the first time, you want to subscribe to the podcast, go to robisawebsite.com/iTunes. We also have a Survivor only version of the podcast feed, which is only about a third of a fun as the regular podcast feed, but you can get that at robisawebsite.com/Survivor iTunes. And we always do appreciate the feedback and the star ratings. It helps more people find the show. Greatly appreciated if you can go ahead and leave us a review. And you feel free to do one as we're going along here with the show. Honest reviews only. robisawebsite.com/iTunes.
We'll wait.
No. We can't stop the show. All right. So today we're going to be talking about the 10 millennials. We will be talking about in our next part, the 10 Gen Xers. At the end of that podcast, Nicole Stradamus will make her big prediction in terms of, did you have a good feel in terms of the people that you've looked at, in terms of, are you starting to like, is the light bulb going off on a couple people?
I mean, I did gravitate towards some people.
Yeah.
And gravitate away from others.
Because you kind of missed the mark last season. You had a little bit of a hot streak between the Mike Holloway and the Jeremy.
Maybe, but I did it on purpose.
Why would you do it on purpose?
To throw you guys off.
To throw us off?
Yeah.
Well, why? It doesn't even make any sense.
It makes sense to me.
Okay. All right. It's going to be that kind of night. So that's what we're going to do and get Nicole's prediction at the end of next episode, the part two of the preview, the Gen X preview. I know a lot of people have probably missed you very much. Of course, the patrons hear from you weekly when we do our weekly Patron 5 for 5, where you're on the podcast
yes.
with me once a week.
Yes.
But for many listeners of the podcast,
they don't know who I am.
Well, no, people know. I hope that people know who you are. But many people, if you are hearing Nicole for the first time, of course, Nicole is my lovely
babysitter.
Yes. Yes. Baby mama. And so she is here. Nicole, one of the youngest Gen Xers around. How about that? You like that title?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Better. Would you rather be a younger Gen Xer or an old millennial?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Would you rather be an old millennial or a young Gen Xer? If you could win the game and be an old millennial, but lose the game or be a young Gen Xer, what would you rather be?
I don't know. These Gen Xers are pretty negative Nancys.
Yeah. No, you'd be right there. You'd be right
there. I'm on the cusp.
You're on the cusp, but I think that you are technically, can I say this without getting in trouble?
Older, probably not.
Older than the youngest Gen Xer.
I'm older than the youngest Gen Xer?
Yes.
That's a sad story.
Yeah, well, but you would certainly be one of the youngest Gen Xers around.
But I could pass for a millennial.
Yes, yes. You could certainly pass for a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you're millennial in attitude.
No.
So, Nicole is probably squarely in...
I'm more of a get off my lawn type of person.
Yes, yes. One of the crankier Gen Xers.
Yes. Yes. But young.
But young. All right. So, we're going to go through all 10 of these people here on the podcast. I'm very excited to dig back in. Nicole, are you excited about the theme, the idea of Gen Xers versus millennials?
I wasn't. And then I started to do my research on the contestants.
Always do your research.
Always.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And I am pretty excited. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. Okay, good. So what is it? Just the idea of you're getting behind the theme, or there's people that you like and you feel like it's going to be fun to explore this?
I think it's it's both. I think that you have the Gen Xers and the millennials are so different.
Yes.
And there's some good personalities here.
My big regret is that there is not a woman named Jen on this season. That would be fun. Are you talking about, is it Gen L or Gen X?
Yeah, if there was a Gen X.
Yes. That
Jennifer
would be,
Xavier.
That would be good. Where we have like a Kelly B or a Kelly. So I think that would be fun if we had that. But unfortunately, we do not. I feel we have a lot of Jennies and Jennifers. I'm trying to think. Do we have even... Jen Lyon, we had, it was a Jen. But not a lot of Survivor Jens out there.
No, not really.
Okay, so maybe we can correct that. Maybe one day, that'll be my dream, if we actually do get a Gen X on Survivor.
Wow, ambitious.
Bring her back. You are the ambitious. All-star millennials versus Gen X. Do you want to dive into talking about these millennials?
You know I'm a diver.
Okay, so we will do that. And I'm going to go through them in alphabetical order by first name. Is that okay with you?
That's fine. I just got to...
Sometimes I feel like in the past you complain about the order that I say that we're going to do this. We're like, oh, this is different than my notes.
Well, it is.
Okay.
You don't send me an email saying this is what we're doing.
Well, I mean, that's the order that they're in on the CBS website. How did you have a different order?
I did it on YouTube.
Yes.
What you told me to do. Okay. That was in the email.
All right. Sorry about that. Actually, just real quick before we begin the deep dive, how's everything going for you? I mean, but I'm assuming, like, because we just did the patron cast the other night, that I feel like that we've caught up on you. But for people who didn't catch that. How has your summer been?
It's been busy.
Yes.
It's been very hot in these parts.
Yes. And the boys aren't driving you crazy?
Oh my God. Today was awful. I was in the car with them coming back from the farmer's market, and both of them were screaming on the top of their lungs. Like, yeah. At one point, I thought Anthony was going to break the glass with his high-pitched sounds.
Yeah. I had a dentist appointment, which was nearby the Fashion Square Mall. That's nearby where we used to live. Uh-huh. And so our dentist has his office over there. And so we were going to meet up, and that I had enough time between when I was recording a podcast and getting back here. So I came to meet up with you because it was a farmer's market over there. It was all going to be very nice. And it was fine, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't great.
It wasn't relaxing.
It was not at all.
It really wasn't.
It was borderline awful.
Yes. And there was a woman who went into what? Diabetic shock?
Oh, yeah. A woman collapsed. And I went over to her. And I'm wearing Anthony on my chest.
In the carrier.
And I run over to this, it was a young girl. And she was like passing out. And I'm trying to like check her pulse and make sure she's alive.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It was like a scary situation.
Yeah. I forgot that I was actually wearing a baby.
Yes. And you were like a first responder to a scene.
Yes.
And you were trying to help a person while Dominic wanted lemonade, and I was buying him lemonade somewhere.
Yes. Were you wondering where I was when you came back?
No, I could see what was going on. And the cashier, who was like, he couldn't see what was going on. He's like, oh, damn, something's going on over there. We're like, what's happening? Like, he was like really like excited about like, oh,
someone,
man.
Someone passed out.
He's
great.
Like, he's like, everybody's looking over there. Yeah. That's something like he was really into it. He was like, I guess it was a boring day at work.
It wasn't boring anymore.
Yeah. So, and then you help somebody. But then, yeah, you called me. We were in separate cars. Also, I was very excited. Comic Book Girl 19. I'm pretty sure I saw, I was too nervous to say hello.
He was a little too excited.
No, I was very, I'm a fan of her, her videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw her, but I didn't go and say, I didn't stop her.
He said he was too nervous.
Yeah, I feel like this should probably have been like, get away from me, crazy stalker person.
Probably.
I feel like it's different for a guy to approach a woman. I feel like that, you know, she's like reaching for mace at the point where you go and stop somebody.
Yeah.
But then I was trying to listen to reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar on the way home. I had a nice, you know, nice drive.
Oh, how nice.
And then I get a phone call from Nicole that just has like...
I don't even say anything.
Yeah. It was like, you know, it's your cousin Marvin. Listen to this. And so, yeah, just like screaming babies. I was like, can I get back to my podcast now? I'm trying to listen to what Taryn has to say with Brent. And they're in the middle of a fight. I need to hear how this works out.
And I feel like Dominic is onto my strategy of turning the music music all the way up so I can't hear them at a certain point. And he just screams louder and
just
louder.
Just screaming.
Screaming.
I spilled my lemonade! I spilled my lemonade! Oh my God. Well, son, you know, Beyonce says when life gives you spilled lemonade, I don't know what you do at that point. Once you've gone.
Once Jay-Z cheats on you.
I don't know. But really, that really just interrupted my nice ride.
I'm so sorry.
Ride home to hear what was going on.
I feel like I was at the point of like a mental breakdown. You know, when you just start hysterical laughing before you lose it, you totally lose
that
it.
That happens. That's like the Kathy Sleckman, I think. Yeah.
That's where I was.
Okay. All right. So now that we've, annoyed all the people who don't want to hear about kids for a bit, get it all out of our system. All right. So let's get into talking about these kids, these kooky survivor millennials.
Yeah, they are kids.
All right. So, Nicole, here we go. We'll start off with Adam Klein. He is 25. He is a homeless shelter manager. Okay, Nicole has requested that I bring up the pictures also of all the different players. So let me bring that up for Nicole. Bring up a nice picture of Adam Klein, who is the survivor Redditor. You know what Reddit is?
I do know what Reddit is. There was a thread about me on it.
Yes. What did they say about you?
That I was going to win Survivor.
There was a thread on Reddit about how you would do on Survivor. I think we've explored this thoroughly.
But someone said that if I predicted myself, then I would win.
Yes. No, you would do terrible on Survivor.
Awful. Yes. Awful.
You would not. You just would have no patience for it.
No patience. No poker face. Yeah. No.
You know, maybe Big Brother if it was like over the course of a weekend.
No, hell no. Oh, over a weekend.
Yes. If it was like one of these like
ORG. If it was an overnight sleepover orgy.
No.
Was
no,
that what you
no,
just said?
No.
Is that what you said?
That is not what I said. That is not what I said. Okay. Off to.
Head out of the gutter, Nicole.
Off to, yeah. All right, here he is.
Can I tell you what I first thought about this guy?
Sure.
I thought he was the douche that increased the HIV medication.
No.
The cost of the HIV.
He doesn't even look like that
a
guy.
A little bit.
No.
Yes.
He looks a little bit like the dude you got Adele guy who was on the Triumph election special.
Was he?
Yes. Yeah, that's very funny also, for the record. So here is Adam Klein, and all these millennials are like, what are you talking about, Adele? What is Adele? Okay, now you mean the singer? Hello, it's me? No. Hello, it's Adam Klein. His pet peeves are bullies, long lines, and smokers.
Yep.
Yes. Definitely a true millennial. He hates bullies. He is working for social justice also, he says. That's one of his passions.
I know. When I first saw him, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the scheming douche that is just going to be like such a jerk. And then I felt stupid when he started talking about how he works at a homeless shelter.
Yeah, why did you think he's going to be a scheming jerk?
He just looks like
one. He looks like a schemer. No, I didn't get that. It seems like he's going to be a pretty nice guy. He talks about how that millennials believe that in this moment, anything is possible. I think that he's like the poster person for, you know, where we're going to look for the good side of the millennials. That he's like the positive example of the millennials.
Yeah. And did you feel like reading these bios, it was like reading a college application essay?
For who? For
all
of
them.
No, some of them are shorter than others, but I really did feel like...
No, but they were all like so well written.
Oh, okay. Well, they just came out of college, a lot of them. I got the feeling that he's really being given to us as captain of the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Millennial.
Yes.
Yeah. I do feel like that he is the one person of this group. And I'm always interested to get your take on, from when we went back to do Survivor Worlds Apart, the cast photo. I feel like that this could be a rudderless group, Nicole, this millennial tribe.
Oh, there is like no emotion in this picture.
No emotion in the cast photo. But I think that he's almost like our Captain Kirk here of the millennials.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Do you feel like he's the leader of this group?
I feel like he can be. I think he has the potential to be.
And I think he'll be a good leader. I don't think that he's going to be like one of these like Brad Culpepper, like calling the shots.
I think that they're all going to have problems with being. I think they all want to be the leader. They're all very motivated. They're all very like, I can do whatever I want. I can do anything. And we're going to have a problem.
Am I being misguided in terms of thinking about the tribe structure as needing a leader? Does the idea of a millennial tribe, is it structured differently? It's like, hey, we're all the leader here. Is it more of sort of like one of these things where like these new age type of companies where nobody has a job title, make up your own job title.
What?
Yeah.
No, I think this is going to be super competitive.
It's going to be super competitive within the millennials.
Within the
tribe.
Millennials, yes, absolutely.
You think there's going to be a real struggle for power here?
Yes.
All right, that'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Because look at them. They're all individuals in this picture.
Well, yes, there is.
No, but I mean, like, really.
They're not conforming to the group dynamic of a tribe.
They're playing for themselves.
Okay, so you feel like that the problem here with the millennials is going to be they are playing the individual game from the start, and they are not looking at each other as a team.
I think so.
Okay, that's important.
Yeah.
That's important. You know, with the Generation X tribe, you would think that perhaps they might be more of a cohesive unit, whereas that you would think that the millennials will have an advantage in the strength and the challenges. It didn't really play out that way in Nicaragua, back to that first season that we did a preview
of. That I remember so well.
Well, yes, and you predicted that Benry would be the winner of
that
season.
I did not stop that.
Yes, you did.
Stop it. I did not.
Yes, no, you predicted Brenda was going to be the winner.
Fabio.
Yes, no, that's right. I can't even fool you. Yes. You predicted Fabio would be the winner, and we laughed at
and you
then.
And you laughed and laughed.
I'm sure that we'll laugh at you when you
predict
your winner.
You laugh at me every
yes,
season.
Yes, but some, yeah.
You and you laughed at me when I predicted the Big Brother over the summer.
Yes, yes. And what was the name of the person that you picked?
Natalie.
Yeah, okay, all right, good. Look at you. You would see what 4 cups of coffee a day will do for you? Yes.
Yes.
All right. So let's
the ninja.
Let's keep going with Adam, or we'll never get through this.
Yeah.
So Adam, of course, he does volunteer work. That he has a parent who has cancer, right?
Lung cancer.
I believe his mom.
His mom.
Yes, his mom has stage 4 lung cancer, and this really means a lot to him to be out there and be on the show. He's a big fan of Survivor. Again, we mentioned that he posts on the Survivor Reddit.
So he knows you.
I mean, one would think. I mean, yes. I don't have any hard evidence to support that. But
he's
you
listening
would
right now.
Again, we don't know that for a fact.
Oh, I know.
It is, you know, a lot of the survivors do listen to these things.
You know, these millennials are always Googling themselves.
Yes. Well, maybe that's a Gen X thing.
No, I don't think so.
We don't know. Maybe the next generation, the millennial thing is to not listen to all of the podcasts.
No, come on. They're all obsessed with themselves.
I don't know. I do feel like that the people who tend to be the people like that are like, you know, firing back and taking us on have maybe been people that aren't quite the young players. That's not, you know, that's not like Julia Sokolowski. It has been the people that are like in their 30s and
40s. Well, the Gen Xers are angrier.
Yes, yes. And, you know, that maybe they have less social media training than some of the millennials.
I think that these guys, they're trained where it's like, yeah, social media is great, but they also know that everybody's watching and maybe they're not going to...
They have some chill, unlike the Gen Xers.
Yeah, they know that their jobs kind of depend on their social media. When they go for a job interview, but they're looking at social media, too.
Maybe, maybe. Also, Adam tells us about the Survivor player that you're going to be most like. I always like to look at this. He says that Spencer and Hayden Moss.
Because they're similar.
What? You're hating on that pick?
I'm not. I think it's a pretty good pick. Spencer's good.
He says that Spencer is wise beyond his years, can easily play up to the egos of older and stronger players, and are strategic thinkers, and are widely underestimated in the game.
Yeah.
So I think that everything is looking good for Adam. For me, what I kind of want to see is what happens to Adam if things don't necessarily go his way. If he ends up like Spencer, where all of a sudden, you know, I feel like he has a good plan coming into this. But if he ends up sort of down in the numbers, or if the, you know, he ends up on the wrong side of something, is he going to be able to adjust? But I feel very good about him as
he seems like a smart guy
as a player. I think he seems to be, to me, the most well-rounded of the millennials.
I think he's going to have a big, he's going to have a strong social game.
Yes.
I mean, he works for a homeless shelter.
Yes.
I feel like, well, first of all, they're like living in a homeless shelter here.
Yes, yes. So he's good at volunteering.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So hard to find a weakness here.
Yeah.
Again, that the my almost problem is going to be that almost seems too good to be true, too perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that ultimately plays out on the island too
yeah.
perfect.
Yeah.
So he does seem like he could be a golden boy, and not I'm talking about in the edit sense of it, but just in terms of will he be looked at, especially if he's the leader? Will he be a target? But hard to find a flaw in what we're seeing.
Well,
the resume is not flawed.
I think that's the flaw. I think that these guys are going to be super competitive, and they're going to see him as a super threat.
But who? Throw out a name.
All of them. They're all competitive.
So you feel like that the millennials are going to be competitive with each other?
Oh, for sure.
More so than with the Gen Xers.
Yeah, I feel like I can't see too many alliances in here.
I kind of agree with that. I do think that maybe they could be a little bit of sort of going off in their own directions.
And I think they're going to look at his perfection and be like, oh, no, too perfect.
So you think that if he tries to instill some sort of a structure here, you think that there could be a rejection of that?
I do.
Okay. We will see what happens with Adam.
Because, you know, I'm such a strategical
mastermind. Hey, look, but don't argue with the success.
Yeah.
4 times in the previous 12 seasons, 33% of the time you have correctly predicted the winner.
That's one third.
That is one third. Yes. Anything else you want to say about Adam?
No.
No? That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The thumbs up or thumbs down on Adam overall?
I like him.
Okay. Thumbs up. I agree. All right. Let's talk about Hannah Shapiro. And of course, Hannah is a barista. Okay.
Yeah. You work at Starbucks.
Yes. Yes. I don't know if she actually, you know, is currently working at Starbucks.
If she works at Coffee Bean, I would respect her more.
Okay. So, and is it called a barista at both places?
Yeah. It's a coffee maker.
It's called a barista even if you don't work at Starbucks.
It's called a barista when you're downstairs in our kitchen making coffee.
Yeah. So she currently lives in West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
She is 24 years old. She describes herself as nerdy, competitive, and weird. She says she's a lifelong Survivor fan. She is into skiing, scuba diving, eating. She can hula hoop and walk at the same time. That she talks a lot about what it was like growing up and sort of paints herself as like a female Cochran. She says as the contestant that she's most like, she says she's a big Cochran fan. She used his humor and his fish out of waterness to control the, or he used his humor and fish out of waterness to control the game without seeming threatening. Cochran had a buff collection. He wrote a paper at Harvard Law School. She wrote her college common application essay about wanting to be on Survivor so she can relate to his super fanness. And we're obviously both super cool in middle school. All right, Nicole. What is your take on Hannah?
Well, first I was like, I like this girl. She seems pretty self-aware.
Yes.
She was funny. But the shtick got, you know, it was over
it was
pretty
getting
quick.
Old. Yeah. It was getting old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying very hard to be funny. I think that what really plays on Survivor, and I realize the irony of what I'm saying, I think that, you know, so many Survivor fans really like Courtney Yates because she is funny, but it doesn't feel like she's forcing it.
Right.
And it does feel like, especially, and the bio is not necessarily the best example of this, but.
No, but it, even in her video.
You know, everything is feeling a little bit forced here.
Yeah.
And I wonder how that's going to play on the island.
That can get annoying.
It possibly could.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, if it's sort of like feeling forced in terms of the screen time, because I think that that can sort of drive a wedge between people where we're trying, you know, it doesn't feel organic out there in the moment if somebody is trying to, you know, get screen time by, you know, telling their jokes,
mm-hmm.
especially if the jokes
like
aren't landing. Look, like you may, you could argue maybe even with in the Survivor All-Stars version of me, maybe that's the case. But there was no problem with that in the Amazon. Those jokes were endearing. People
yes,
liked them.
They were. I fell in love with them.
People liked them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know necessarily how it's going to play. My issue also with Hannah is that now this all worked for Aubrey last season. We said a lot of the same things about Aubrey coming into Survivor Co. Wrong.
But she wasn't anything like what she sounded like in her bio and in her video.
Well, it really did. I think at first maybe was a little bit of a thing that sort of alienated her in the first part of the game.
Right.
Some of the other people in the Brains tribe maybe weren't loving Aubrey, but I think then she adapted as the game wore on. But right before these people, actually, no, I'm trying to think of when they played. So they left before Aubrey really. So I was going to say that Aubrey is going to be in the minds of these players, but they filmed this season during Survivor Korong's airing, I believe. I'm getting confused between when they left for Survivor 34.
Yeah, so, I have no idea.
Okay, so I was going to say that I wonder, is Aubrey going to be fresh in the minds of these players? And they say, oh, we have to watch out for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, no, that may not be something that they're even thinking about.
Okay.
All right. So, Nicole, what is your read on Hannah? Do you think that she is able to fit in? I'll go back to the cast picture of her. There she is over with, she has the knee socks. Dalton Ross, I'm sure, will approve. She's got a little bit of a headband going on.
Yeah, I'm going to say thumbs down.
Sorry. You feel like that she's going to be able to adapt and fit in with this group?
I don't.
Why?
I don't know if the rest of the cast is going to appreciate her humor.
Yes. Yeah. So why do you feel that way?
Because they seem very serious.
Do you feel like that there are any people in this group that you think that she will have a kinship with?
I feel like old Blue Eyes over there might be a little nicer to her.
Who's old Blue Eyes?
I don't know what his name is, but he has blue eyes.
Can you help us out a little bit?
It's the guy next to her.
The guy next to her. So it's Taylor?
Taylor, yes.
Yes. You think that
Taylor, very millennial name.
Yes. Well, especially that snowboard instructor, Taylor. So what are you saying? You're seeing showmance?
No, I'm just saying that he seems like he's more of an accepting person.
Oh, you feel like that he's going to like this? I feel like that
he seems like a nice guy.
I feel like he seems like one of the people that is not going to be interested. Like, I feel like that her jokes, I feel like, are going to land with sort of the Zeke's of the world.
No, I don't think Zeke is going to appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Well, we will see exactly how it goes. Do you feel like that Hannah, and this is what I like to know from you, I feel like you tend to have a good read on these things. Is Hannah the kind of woman that the other women are going to appreciate, or is her humor, if she's like a Cochran, if she's very jokey, is that going to be appreciated more by these young guys?
I think it'll be more appreciated more with the young guys more so than the women. Mm-hmm. Definitely,
especially these other women that are
but
there.
Also, look at her body language too. Like, she has her arms crossed in front of her and she's like totally like segregating herself from everybody.
Oh, so you are giving her thumbs down on the body language?
Yeah, look, like she seems like she's just like moving herself away from everybody and like really just shutting them off.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yes, I do. I do see that. That's a good point. When you're using your arms to sort of like put like
a barrier.
Yeah, that your crossed arms in the picture is sort of like a double. Like, not just you have something in front of you, but you're also closed up.
Unless you're posing for a softball picture.
Okay, so you like that.
Yeah.
All right. So overall, you feel like really out early, or do you feel like that she could rebound?
No, I'm saying out early.
Out
I'm
early.
I'm going to say out early.
Okay, Nicole with a strong take on Hannah. Do you feel like that if
Sorry,
she
Sorry, but
can,
I feel like she's a nice person, though.
Yes. If you feel like if she can get through the millennial part of the game and get to a swap, do you think that she will be better received by the Gen Xers?
No, because they're cranky.
Yeah, so you think they're not going to put up with her?
No.
All right. Yeah, I will say that I am rooting for her, but I don't feel great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't feel great. I don't see the path to a victory yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we will see.
No path to victory. Okay. Sorry. No yellow brick road.
All right. Let's talk about Jessica Figgy Figueroa. Or let's get Figgy with it, Nicole. All right. So let's talk about Figgy. I don't like that she refers to herself as Figgy so much.
Well, I'm sure that's what just everybody calls her.
I guess so. What's wrong with Jessica?
No one calls her that.
Okay, they call her.
She has every vowel in her last name.
Yes, in Figueroa. So here is Figgy. She's 23. She's a bartender. She is adventurous, a free spirit, and a crowd pleaser. She likes kayaking, videography, and watching football.
Do you think it's weird that someone refers to themselves as a crowd pleaser? I feel like guacamole, that's a crowd pleaser, you know?
You, sir, are no guacamole. No. You, Figgy, are no guacamole. Yes.
Yeah.
So then she doesn't like when people are lazy and just expect things to happen. That's not what life is about. Get up and fight.
Okay, millennial.
Yes. Yes. Get up and fight. So she also compares herself to Stephanie LaGrossa. She's just so tough in so many ways and strategic. She shows some moments of weakness, and at the end of it, she's still a tough chick, and she fights to stay alive. I admire her. Now, it's been quite some time since Stephanie LaGrossa played Survivor. That speaks to Figgy having seen, you know, quite a few seasons, or at least, you know, I mean, Stephanie was on 2 episodes of Heroes versus Villains. It's been quite some time since Survivor Guatemala.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, 2006 when that was on? I mean, that's like, you know, 11 years ago for Figgy.
What sticks out in my head about Stephanie is when she came back for her first returning season, and they wanted to vote her out. And she's like, "What? You're gonna vote me out?"
You watched Survivor Guatemala?
I did with you.
Okay, good. Look at you.
And she was just like appalled. Like, how could you possibly vote me out?
Yeah, I'm Stephanie.
Yeah.
Figgy, she says that she is like Forrest Gump. You never know what you're gonna get.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure we know.
One of the top 85 movies of all time, I've heard. And also, she's a real captain of sports.
Yeah.
I do think that this plays on the island.
Yeah.
I think that people are going to enjoy, like, the guys, I think, like, when we get into snowboard instructor Taylor.
Yes.
And the other guys that are on this tribe, when we get into Jay Starrett, I think that she's a guy's gal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whatever sort of the alliance structure is, I feel like that she fits into whatever. As long as she's not totally annoying, I think that she has a good enough social game. She seems like an athlete, and I feel like that she's around for a bit.
I agree.
Hard to, other than I just found that her constantly calling herself Figgy in the third person was incredibly annoying.
Okay, but you are a cranky Gen Xer.
Is that so? Yeah. So you feel like that once she gets to the merge, you feel like she's going to be done for, like, why does she keep calling herself Figgy?
No, I don't think. You're just really cranky.
Yes. Yes. Well, all survivors get cranky.
Yeah.
Survivors get cranky AF, Nicole.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you know one of her hobbies is she's a videographer?
Yes.
Snapchat does not
constitute videography. Really bringing the fire tonight.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't know. What sort of videography does she do? Like weddings?
Snapchat, because then she refers to Snapchat later.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, she talks about that as a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
They asked everybody, like, what does it mean to be a millennial? She says, being a millennial means being blessed with an innovative and creative mind. Not necessarily. I don't think every single person who is under 25 is innovative and creative.
No, they were very adjective happy.
Yes. Yes.
Did you notice that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that every single person who is just necessarily like, okay, after this date you're born, you're creative now.
Yes.
You know, I think that there's still people who are 20 years old and not creative.
Yeah.
I think that's possible.
Yeah, you don't have to be creative to be a Gen Xer at all.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, not Gen Xer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, that the thing to me that I do think is interesting about the idea of millennials is that this is a generation that grew up where opportunity is everywhere. You know, if you're connected to the internet,
mm-hmm.
that whereas somebody, if you grew up, and I think as somebody who, you know, our age, we're sort of like in the middle of that. Yeah, when we're sort of like, when we were younger, you know, that the internet wasn't everywhere. And then as we got a little bit older.
We had encyclopedias.
Yeah, you had encyclopedias and stuff. But I do think that there's a meritocracy that came along with the internet where, oh, something became popular online. It became spread throughout the world very quickly. And I think that there were opportunities for young people to get places because of the internet. I think that that's really what it's all tied into. But I don't think necessarily just because you're under a certain age, you're a creative person.
Yeah, you might be motivated.
Yes.
But not creative.
So she says, I work hard for where I want to be and everything I have. Millennials get stuff done and work hard while throwing out a good snap story every now and then.
You mean videography?
Yes. Yes. All right. So Figgy wants a razor and water shoes. She doesn't want to step on sea urchins.
If you were a real millennial, you would know what laser hair removal is.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you sure that maybe that as part of being a millennials that you are just going to be free and open? I think that's too much of a Gen Xer, being concerned what other people think about your body hair.
No.
No? Okay. But overall, I think the arrow is pointing up for Figgy.
I agree.
Okay. So we are going to be getting Figgy with it.
But you better not be getting Figgy with it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with just being Jessica.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with just being Jess F.
Yeah. You have a lot of vowels.
Yeah. Nicole, do you think that the other women will enjoy Figgy?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, other than the nickname stuff.
You are the only one with a problem with
no,
that.
No, I bet other people are. Okay. Let's talk about Justin J. Starrett. And I really had a hard time getting a read on him. He's like he's talking about a bunch of stuff in his video, but I at first he's talking about like the Bible and people that are religious, but I didn't get the sense that he's necessarily talking that he's religious.
No,
he's just
he
talking
hates
about
people who
religious people. Like he's just talking about a bunch of different things.
I feel like this guy's got issues.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get into it. Okay. He's 27. He's from Florida. Real estate agent, determined, intelligent, and funny.
Yeah.
He likes skimboarding, fishing, and pretty much any sport.
Okay, I have a pet peeve for people who claim they're intelligent.
Why is that?
Because if you're intelligent, you don't need to tell people.
Yeah. I feel the same way about people that say they're funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Justin is definitely into a lot of different things that he says millennial means freedom for him. He says this because he's born in a time where anything is possible.
He also says he's charming, intelligent, mm-hmm. and humble.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes. He also says that he bought his house when he was 25.
In Florida.
Okay. Nicole, how dare you?
I'm sure it's a nice house, but yes. Real estate is not like Los Angeles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They ask him about what do you want to bring on the island? Of course, the ever popular iPod he wants to bring and a skimboard.
Oh, and that really sets off Rob.
And a DVD player. Now, this is interesting.
What kind of millennial has an iPod and a DVD player?
I don't know. You think he's a poser millennial?
I don't know.
They asked him, the Survivor contestant that you most like. He said, I'd have to say Russell Hance and Wu Wang.
Is he bipolar?
I don't know. I guess that give me people that cannot win the game.
And who are total opposites.
Whoa, I can't believe that I'm half me, half Russell. That is one flawed plan. I'm not even like Wu.
Yeah.
That I purchased the house and I'll fix it up for you, Justin. And
in
then
Florida.
And then we'll flip it. We'll flip this house. Whoa, that sounds like an awesome plan, Russell. He's going to align himself with the men and the women and make everyone believe that he wants to make a team and he'll be backstabbing and making big moves and eliminating any threat. Did I mention this? I'll be doing this with a smile on my face.
Yeah. And he also says that he hates when people push religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's going to be a big problem on this tribe. A
lot of people talking about religion yes. overall here in Survivor 33.
Because God watches Survivor.
Well, I do wonder if maybe at some point in the casting process, they were that was a thing that maybe they were trying to come up with of some sort of maybe religious themed season of a lot of people that felt a certain way, but that ultimately doesn't end up being the theme for the season.
Right.
But it's hard. He just talks about so many different things. I don't really get a sense of who he is.
I feel like he's going to be like the villain on the tribe.
The villain on the tribe. At first, I thought that maybe that he could be the Drew Christie of this group. But then we got to snowboard instructor Taylor. And then I backed off of Justin being the Drew
really?
Christie.
I did not get that.
So I don't know. Hard to get a good read on Justin. I definitely don't feel like a winner vibe is coming from him, but he does have certainly merge boot upside.
You think he's going to get voted off at the merge?
MBU, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I don't know. Bros like to stick together, so it's possible that he's going to stick around for a bit.
But who's he broing down with besides snowboard instructor Taylor? Who are the other bros that he's hanging out with?
I guess there's Zeke. Zeke is not putting up with this.
Zeke, Adam, and Will are the other guys that are here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily the bros. I think Adam, though, is the person. He's like the swing person. I think
yeah.
he could go with the bros, or he could go with sort of the non-bro-y guys or the women.
I feel like he is like the complete opposite of Adam.
Yeah.
And he said something like, if I'm going to say something, I'm going to say something.
Okay.
That's usually how it works,
That's
right?
That's how it works. All right. So I don't have a ton to say about Jay, and we'll see where he goes. Survivor Jays, that I don't know. Don't have a good feeling.
Yeah. I don't like Survivor Jays.
No. Oh, since when? Since when? Okay.
I'm completely bamboozled right now.
All right.
Oh, Jay Byers.
All right. Let's talk about Mari Takahashi. What do you think of Mari, the 31-year-old, the oldest millennial?
Yeah.
Yes, she is a 31-year-old gamer. She does a lot of videos. She works with Smosh. She plays video games.
Have you ever heard of her?
Yes. That she,
is she really that big?
Yeah. She is a video gamer, rock climber, traveling. She talks a lot about being a ballerina in her videos.
Yeah.
Okay. She hates stagnation and laziness. She has summited Mount Kilimanjaro. That's one of my goals as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I can't even like pretend to agree with them.
All right. Nicole, what is your take on Mari?
I like her. I feel like she is like kind of like the epitome of a millennial.
She is the epitome.
You are both the epitome of what this great country of ours has to offer.
Yes. Yes.
Lovely.
Lovely. So, yeah, I mean, Mari is kind of has everything that you want here.
Yes. And in a super competitive game, that could be not so good.
Really? So you feel like that she could be a target?
I feel like she could really go either way. Like people will, you know, they want to be Insta famous, especially, mm-hmm. you know, these millennials. And they're talking about Instagram and all of that. And they see that she is really successful at social media, YouTube. And I feel like some people can really be attracted to that. And then some people can be really intimidated by that.
Well, do we have a sense of, is she going to divulge that to the
group?
Well,
that's the thing. I don't know.
That we don't know exactly how she's going to end up playing that. I guess it could be a liability, but I feel like that.
But could someone know who she is?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. Yeah. That, you know, that I mentioned earlier, I saw a YouTube person today and I knew who it was. So I think that Mari definitely could be recognized. But, you know, going into this season, I had said that what I really liked was the Venn diagram, Nicole. I said,
can we call it what it is? The dorkagram?
No, stop it. I said, who are the oldest millennials? Who are the youngest Gen Xers? Who are the songs of Ice and Fire that could sort of cross over of, I know this world, I know this world, I can work with both sides.
Yeah.
And so instantly, I do like the person who is skewing older in the millennials tribe and then skewing younger in the Gen X tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that you have that crossover appeal. She also says she wants to play like Yul Kwan, certainly a good pick. She says he was fiercely smart, two steps ahead of everyone to play the entire game. Not everyone. To be sure he was in so much control as to not have to play his idol. It was awesome. She also wants to be like Kelly Wentworth in Survivor Second Chance.
Yeah.
So that's all that is good. She says she's tenacious. She loves winning. She plays to win.
I mean, all she does is play games. Like this is perfect for her.
That's all she does is play games, and she does have the physicality of being a ballet dancer.
And she seems like a very personable person.
Hard to find something not to like.
Yeah.
Can you come up with anything, Nicole? You're the person that could find something not to like about anybody.
Well, I did have to Google what a Mexican Coke was.
Okay. Yes. All right. And be careful when you're Googling the Mexican
Coke.
Yes. So when they asked her, what could you have on the island? She wants a journal, my phone with Wi-Fi so I could Instagram the crap out of this beautiful location, and a taco truck endlessly stocked with carne asada tacos, Mexican Coca-Colas, and chocolate-covered churros.
I don't think tacos are a good thing to have on the island.
Mm, yeah, chocolate covered anything, I think that melts. The Mexican Coke, I think it has the sugar in it.
Right, there's no high fructose corn syrup. But I did discover that actually, if it's from Mexico, it does have high fructose corn syrup, but not the imported.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pissed. So not good. Not good.
Yeah.
But do you think that Mari, let's go back to that group shot, Nicole, that you like to analyze.
Where is she?
She's down here in the front here. She's in between Zeke And, you know, actually, Taylor that she's next to?
Yes.
Hard to tell who Taylor is and who Jay is in the picture. I'm assuming that's Taylor there on the bottom.
I think so, yeah.
She looks to be smaller and more compact. Is she sort of like...
Well, she's a ballerina.
Is she crouching down more or is she small in stature?
She's like in a dancer's pose.
Mm, yes. And what does that say to you as the armchair psychologist?
You know, with my degree and everything.
As the counselor Troy of this podcast.
She just seems like she's... Really, there's no emotion really there. She's
no emotion in the photo.
She's just there for herself.
She's just there.
Okay, parrot.
All right. So you don't like that?
Not that I don't like it.
Thumbs down on the photo. She is not Instagramming the crap out of that photo.
Do you like Instagram photos of nature?
Do I do that?
Yeah. Do you like that?
Do I like them?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say that I have... that physically liked many of them.
Me neither. I guess. Not a fan.
It's like, okay. If there's no people in it.
Yeah, show me a person falling. I'll nice. Like that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Nicole does like people falling. That she does like. So hopefully some people will fall down this season.
Yeah. So I feel like she's just doing her own thing in this photo. She's in her little dancer's pose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But overall, what's the vibe on Mari? Do you feel like that she is connecting with this group? Who are her buddies here?
I feel like she just is one of the personable people that kind of gets along with everybody.
Yeah, I do think that she's one of these swing people. Yeah. I think that, like we were saying with Adam, I feel like that she can get along with the guys. I feel like that she's non-threatening and she can get along with the women.
Yeah.
And it seems like she has a good personality. So I like her to do well.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up on Mari.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep going. Let's talk about Michaela.
Oh, God.
Michaela Bradshaw. Will she be... the Michaela that doesn't suck. Michaela.
It won't be hard.
Yes. All right. So Michaela is right here. Michaela Bradshaw, 25, from Texas. She is into vacation club sales.
Timeshares.
You love that.
Timeshares.
Yes. Yes. Would you like a free breakfast, Nicole?
I'll take the free breakfast, but I'm not buying your timeshare.
Come on. It's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she is intelligent, fun, and competitive. She likes traveling, eating, and cuddling, Nicole.
Well, who doesn't?
Yes. Okay. She hates it when incompetent people try to instruct her. When people do things inefficiently or wrong, when she loses, and when other people make her lose.
Welcome to Survivor.
Yes. Yes. Now, she's an interesting millennial because that she is...
She's not like the rest of them.
Yeah, she has not been handed much.
She's kind of like a Gen Xer.
She is like a Gen Xer, mm-hmm. Right. And she had to earn everything that she got in life.
Mm-hmm.
She has, she graduated and she was an admission counselor. She kept her expenses low by eating PB&J, Nicole, your favorite.
It's not very healthy.
She denied herself cable internet. She stuck to her flip phone and she drove a 92 Honda Accord.
How dare you, millennial, have a flip phone and no internet?
Yes. What kind of millennial is this?
She should be kicked out of the club.
Michaela. Yes. She's Delilah.
No offense, Michaela, but I hope she's voted out early so we don't have to hear that voice.
No, it's great. It's great. We need a Michaela. All right. If she could have three things on the island, she wants a mirror. She wants a book. It doesn't even say what book she wants, just a book.
Mm-hmm. Could be an audiobook. She's a millennial.
Yes. And also, finally, chocolate, because sometimes the taste of something sweet can boost my mood.
It's true.
All right. And she says that she would like to play as a combination of Tasha, Kelly Wentworth, and Natalie Anderson. That's an interesting pick of three people, Nicole.
It's all very recent.
Yes. Tasha Fox, Kelly Wentworth, and Natalie Anderson. It's almost as if she wants to play like the 2015 Miss Survivor finalists. Yes, that's not necessarily a great combination. It could be somewhat of a toxic combination.
Yeah.
Tasha, Kelly Wentworth, Natalie Anderson. You throw them all together, doesn't necessarily mix.
Mm, yeah.
You get some rap battles. And a lot of shade.
Yeah.
Tasha, Kelly Wentworth, and Natalie Anderson. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to work. Michaela.
Oh, stop it.
All right. So, Nicole, what do you think overall on Michaela? Is this arrow looking up or down for her?
I feel like it's looking down because she doesn't really fit in as a millennial.
Yes. Yes. Why? Because that she didn't have a lot of things growing up?
No, I feel like she's crankier.
You have to be a wealthy millennial?
I'm not saying that. I feel like she's crankier.
Well, why do you feel like she's cranky?
Well, what did she say in her pet peeves? I feel like that really describes the... That's
when incompetent people try to instruct me. Yeah, that
so
is
I feel like she's not going to take criticism well.
Mm-hmm. When people do things inefficiently or wrong, when she loses, when other people make her lose. She likes cuddling, though.
Okay, well...
Maybe if somebody tries to be showmantic.
Yeah, or yeah. In Ponderosa.
Yes. It'll be interesting to see how she fares with this group. Because
yeah.
It does, you know, she is...
I feel like she's going to work hard, yes. But it's going to, like... I feel like the rest of them are going to piss her off.
She's interesting because she is sort of like the Marilyn Munster of the group, where mm-hmm. that she is the millennial in age, but not necessarily in spirit.
Yeah. Oh, you used to call me that.
Yes. Well, I never about being a millennial. No, I called you that about your family.
My family, yeah.
Yes. Yes. I have called you the Marilyn Munster, but no millennials know what a Munster is.
Yeah.
So she says that to be a millennial is to resonate with the idea that I can design my own life. It's the notion that I should have desires of my heart, not because I am entitled to them, but because God granted me the ability to attain them. I think that that is sort of an idea, the idea of entitlement that is going to get thrown around a lot this season.
Yeah.
Where she comes from it from a different perspective, where I'm not really entitled to anything, but I do think that especially the Gen Xers probably paint a lot of these millennials with the brush. Oh, they're so entitled.
Yeah.
But she is one of these people in this group who is certainly not entitled. You know, I'm going to eat peanut butter and jelly and drive a 92 Accord and have a flip phone my whole life to attain what I want.
Yeah. I would like to compare the grammar from the millennials and the Gen Xers.
Why?
The,
what are you saying? You feel like
everything
millennials...
is so well written for them. Like they use big words. I don't really think the Gen Xers are going to.
So you feel like the quality of the education for the millennials versus the Gen Xers?
Yes. And I think that these bios are much more intelligent than we've seen the past, you know, 30 seasons.
They're pretty strong. I wonder, though, small sample size, I kind of feel like that with the Gen Xers that we picked, maybe with the exception of David and a couple of others, that I feel like that the Gen Xers that were selected were people that really sort of highlighted the differences between the Gen Xers
but
and the millennials.
Not even just this season. Go back to previous bios. I don't think they're that in-depth and well-written.
Yeah, well, maybe that the sort of the college age students are coming out and more prepared to write a book report than the Gen Xers are.
I guess so.
All right. Anything else on Michaela?
Like, I don't think anybody else wrote, well, something that resonates with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anything else on Michaela?
And I hate that word, too.
Resonate?
I do. I hate that word.
Michaela.
I hate that.
Why do you hate resonate? Because it sounds like raisins and you hate raisins?
No, because the yoga community uses that word so often that it's
right,
like...
Right.
No, and it comes off as fake to me now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't resonate with me.
Doesn't resonate with you. You do hate raisins, though.
I do hate raisins.
Yes. Okay. How much would we have to pay you to eat a raisin? One raisin.
One raisin?
Yeah.
Probably a few hundred dollars.
A few hundred dollars. I thought you were going to say like $10.
No, I would not eat a raisin for $10.
$50. One raisin.
Give me $100, I'll eat two raisins.
Well, you know what? No deal. No
well,
thank
I don't
you.
Even want to eat it then.
The juice is not worth the squeeze on that for $100 to see you eat two raisins.
I agree. I don't want to eat it.
Stop it. All right. Let's talk about Michelle, Millennial Michelle. I think that this could be an interesting conversation.
Michelle.
And hear what you have to say about Michelle. Because I really had a hard time thinking about, is she really good or is she really bad? She is a missionary recruiter. The words to describe her were hungry, hungry hippo, she chose.
Yeah, I feel like the dodo music is kind of playing here.
She loves learning, reading, dancing. She seeks beauty adventures and adrenaline. She likes nature, exploring, rock climbing, slacklining, and Settlers of Catan games. Could be in the mix
I don't
for
even know
Reality
what that is.
Game Masters. Yeah. She also studies dragons and the stars. So,
like stars like astrology or astronomy?
Or the Kardashians.
Well, yeah. She should be voted out immediately.
No, I don't think that she's celebrity watching. I don't know. You think she's telling the fortune from the stars? Is that what it is?
Does religion allow that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So you think that she's more into studying the planets?
I don't think so.
All right. So she's got some interesting things about her. She talks a lot about her Bible studies and the Old Testament specifically. That's a warning sign for me.
Why is that?
And for me, it has nothing to do with, you know, her, you know, the, you know, Bible study. You know, I think that that could be certainly a positive in a lot of cases. But I think in terms of Survivor, had she talked about that she was more interested in the New Testament and sort of the teachings of Jesus, I think that that is sort of like where you should be looking more in terms of building your Survivor game of turn the other cheek and
more
sort of
accepting.
Like, yeah, I think that that's probably where you want to go. And again, I probably don't know enough about this to be talking about it, but I feel like that that is probably more in my mind as somebody who is not very up to speed on Bible study. I feel like that sort of the stories in the Old Testament are more of sort of like a very powerful God who's sort of like striking down people who are out of line. And I do feel like that the game of Survivor is probably more along the lines of the teachings of like understanding and getting along well with the others.
Yes, but this is a social experiment, right?
It is a social experiment. So I don't know, that maybe some Old Testament know-how is going to prove successful.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like coming out of Koh Rong, I do think that the social game is probably the underrated skill set that we've been missing in our analysis here. Maybe not you, but certainly for me heading into this.
Yes.
I think that I'm shining a light more on the social, and I'm wondering how Michelle is going to fit in socially. She has a secret, Nicole.
I've heard.
Yes.
It's not really a secret anymore.
It's a secret. She has a boyfriend.
Yes, but she's not afraid to use the flirt card.
She's going to play the flirt card. Right.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of contradictory, no?
Yeah. Well, that how so?
I mean, isn't that not being very honest, and isn't honesty like a virtue?
Well, she references in the Bible, Delilah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know how that went.
Yes. She says that she could make some man fall for her in this game.
Yeah.
That's been the downfall of many men.
Yes, very all powerful.
Many powerful men.
Yeah.
A woman was their downfall, like myself.
She's a very pretty girl.
Yes. No response on that?
Well, I said she's a very pretty girl.
All right. All right. So if you could bring three things on the island, what would it be and why? How about this, Nicole? A good book to stimulate me mentally, spiritually, philosophically.
Okay. Was it the Bible?
I don't know. That's could go anyway. Waterproof mascara. She wants to stay hot, especially on TV, and a large comfy bed. I mean, she really, could she be the daughter of Debbie that we never got to see?
I feel like this. She's going to be kind of cuckoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a good way or better. Like, that could play either way on Survivor. Like, you could be cuckoo first boot, or you could be cuckoo Debbie, where it sort of is really endearing to a lot of the fans through most of the season.
I feel like she's going to like Dodo music cuckoo.
Mm-hmm. So you feel like that the arrow is pointing down.
Yeah, I'm not looking. I don't think it's looking good.
Yeah, I do feel like that maybe in the right circumstances.
She's kind of too all over the place.
She could be okay, but I'm having a hard time to see how she fits in this group. Like, who's her friend here?
Well, there was another religious person.
Will. Yes. And maybe.
Which one is Will? Can you point
out? Will is all the way on the right. He's holding the flag.
Oh, the 18-year-old.
Yes.
I feel like he's a smart guy, though.
Yes. So I don't know necessarily, like who is the guy that she is going to be tempting? Who is the Samson to her Delilah?
Well, it's not Zeke.
No, probably not. I mean, is she trying to seduce Will, the 18-year-old? A little bit of cougar action.
I don't. Well, she might, but I don't think he's going to fall for it. I feel like he's a smart guy, but he's young and hormonal.
I mean, and then that only leaves Adam, Taylor, and Jay.
And Jay is going to hate her.
Yeah, he does not care for
the
religious stuff.
Yeah.
So now you're down to snowboard instructor, and I feel like, you know,
I feel like he's down for anything.
Well, I'm going to pencil him in for Figgy. some figgy time.
He's penciled in already. Yeah.
And that leaves Adam, and I don't think he's out there for a showmance.
No.
So I don't know if it's going to play here.
I think she's an early boot.
Early boot. Yeah. I mean, I would not be surprised to see first boot upside. Yeah. She's got FBU.
Yeah, sorry.
So who knows? These are just sort of like we're reading a paragraph and we saw 1 minute and 40 seconds talking on the YouTube.
Yes. Where is she in the picture?
I believe that this is her in the back there.
There's two of them that you just pointed to. Is she next to Will?
I believe that is Figgy with the white headband, and I believe that's her with the red headband.
Okay.
So there she is. So she's like shoulder to shoulder with Figgy.
She looks like she wants nothing to do with Will.
Yeah, she's trying to stand away from him and shoulder to shoulder with Figgy.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. She, I thought, had the shortest bio of any of the millennials.
She did.
What does that speak to, Nicole?
I don't think she's very millennial-ish.
Yeah. No. She is not a millennial, I think, in spirit. That they asked her, what does it mean to be a millennial? Being a millennial.
She does have spirit with her.
Yes, she has does have the spirit with her. She says she can think outside the box. It means I won't settle for mediocrity or for Catan. Rather, strive for the best outcome. It also means that I know what a hashtag is and how to fix just about anything using YouTube or Google.
Okay.
You ever look up anything on YouTube to figure out how to fix something?
No, I yell upstairs for you.
Yes. Okay. All right. There you go. All right, Nicole. Let's talk about the millennial snowboard instructor, Taylor.
Oh, you don't like him.
He's 24. He's a real millennial. He says, what does it mean to be a millennial? He's like, come on, man. We're open-minded, liberal, self-expressive, upbeat, connected, tech-savvy. We invented the word sicky, sicky, nar-nar, ratchet, clutch, bay, and LOL.
Did they really invent LOL?
Not sure. I don't think so.
I don't think so either, because I remember like when AOL came out and they had the chat rooms. Like,
yeah.
I'm really dating myself.
I love my generation. We are all around epic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, snowboard instructor Taylor.
Yeah, but he hates selfies.
Yes. Yes. Look, he's a grass is always greener on the other side, because maybe it is greener, man. Maybe that log. Maybe I could do a backflip off it. Whatever. Yeah.
You're totally get off my lawn right now.
Yeah. That's right. Why do you want to be on Survivor? In all honesty, I've not even thought about the money. I just want to kick ass at the game.
Come on.
Come on. I'm going to go fishing in Alaska. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Whatever.
What is he, Sarah Palin?
Well, I don't think she goes fishing.
Well, she's in Alaska doing something.
All right. So he's spontaneous, he's inventive, and a thinker too, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He hates wobbly tables, when people don't clean up their dog's poop, loud chewing, slow walkers, selfies, and forms without enough space for the answers. So he's got a lot of long answers.
Yeah.
Now, this, I think, is the Drew Christie here of the group.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I feel like he's just like, whatever, dude.
So,
bring it on.
Basically, I'm a badass.
Yes.
I don't think he's like meathead douchey.
Okay.
Like, Drew Christie was meathead douchey.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
He wasn't like, whatever, man. Like this guy.
Okay.
He was just, Drew Christie was a douche.
I mean, but Drew Christie wasn't just like a total jock kind of guy.
No, but he was very full of himself. Mm-hmm. I don't get that from this guy.
All right. What Survivor contestant are you most like? He says, Wu Huang, because I'm tricky and funny.
Really? Yeah,
just like Wu. And if it came to it, though, I would not let another castaway walk off with my money.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, that's
a lot of woo references.
Yeah, a lot of woo references. and like, I can't imagine anybody saying like, yes, that's who I would like to be. That's who that is me exactly. Woo.
Well, the worst is woo and Russell Hance at the same time.
Right. No, this is just woo, but he's not going to let Tony win. Taylor, okay. Millennial snowboard instructor Taylor.
Yeah.
Right. So, Nicole, overall, though, how do you think he fits in?
I think he fits in well.
Yeah. I do think he finds a friend here in Jay. I think that they're sort of the like-minded, like the Eddie and Reynold of this group.
Yeah.
And I think then the key for them, I think, is if they can catch on with, say, an Adam and a Figgy, and then they got a group going.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got a group, because I think that that tends to be how these, especially these young people, like the groups of the young groups, tend to have sort of like a click.
Yes.
And then I do think that we have a group then sort of like the who's in the click and then who's out of the click.
Yeah.
I feel like that that's where the millennials group is going.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah. So I think that they could have success early on, but I don't know necessarily if he's somebody who gets along with the Gen Xers when they come into the picture.
Yeah. Well, I feel like he could be like the leader of the group.
You think that do you think that there's a power struggle between, say, an Adam and him?
I think there's always going to be a power struggle here.
Yes. Do you think that there is a power struggle? Are any of the women potentially a leader of this group?
I think I get like that off of Figgy.
Figgy. You think Figgy could become the leader?
Or at least like, I feel like she is the most kind of alpha female.
Yeah, I think as an athlete, but she's still only 23. I mean, if we were gonna see any of the women vie for the leadership of the group, I think it could be Mari.
I think that she's too smart for that.
She is very smart. But I think that she could potentially be in the mix. And then I also think that millennial Michelle could be that person potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think that she necessarily is well received as the leader.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. Overall, I do think that Taylor, I think he's around for a bit.
I think it's thumbs up on Taylor.
Yeah, I think that he's probably, you know, he's got that MBU of that merge boot upside.
Yeah.
So we will see ultimately which of the groups. Do you think that the millennials groups like sticks together all the way towards the end? Or do you think that we get some sort of a blended group post-merge?
I don't know if the Gen Xers are going to permit that,
mm-hmm.
them merging with them into a group.
In Survivor Nicaragua, going back to that great season that you and I first recapped, you know, I do think that there was a thing where that the young people like did band together and say like that there was like they were more cohesive as a group, whereas like the older people like really did not get along well with each other.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be the opposite.
You think it's going to be the opposite? Yeah. The Gen Xers are going to be more banded together.
Yeah.
Against these millennials.
Mm-hmm. I think that the Gen Xers are going to be like, screw those millennials.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we'll see how that plays. All right. Let's talk about...
They're going to be very like Clint Eastwood-y.
Clint Eastwood in general?
Like
or...
cranky, like, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, Clint Eastwood is like in his 80s.
Okay. And he is cranky.
Yeah, he's not like a...
And he talks to a chair.
That was like 8 years ago, Nicole.
Okay. But it still happened.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Will Wall. That might have only been 4 years ago.
Whatever.
All right. Here we go. Here is young Will, 18 years old.
Big Willie.
Great voice for Will.
Very deep. Might be the deepest voice on Survivor. Yes. I even wrote that down.
Yes. He's like a real Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
So exactly. Here is Will Wall that he is from.
He's still in high school.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he didn't graduate yet.
Maybe at the time that he recorded this, that he filmed this, that he might have still been in high school.
His occupation is high school student.
Yeah, I would think at this point, I mean, it's probably... It's been that was in March that I would imagine he got hit. Maybe he's going to college now in the fall. Yeah. I don't really know. So he is from Long Valley.
This is a big time for him. Yes. Survivor starting, college is starting.
Well, we don't know. We're assuming he's going to college.
He's going to college.
Long Valley, New Jersey. Typical Jersey guy.
Oh, stop it.
Okay. That's a Big Brother reference before I start getting emails.
Yeah.
So he is the high school student that he is cunning, adaptable, and dynamic. His hobbies are watching TV, mostly Survivor, camping and fishing, and reading news articles.
Yeah. In a newspaper?
I don't mind. No, stop it. Stop it. No self-respecting millennials reading the newspaper. Unless they're like a hipster. And then
but he's not a hipster.
No, probably not.
No.
And then he says that he hates people that are fake and or stuck up.
Welcome to Survivor.
That's like Nicole's catchphrase when we do these. personal claim to fame is that he is being the youngest person to ever compete on Survivor, which is a dream that has finally become a reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, being the new youngest Survivor is...
If he wins, Jenna Maraska is going to be pissed.
Yeah, I feel like... Is there already a new youngest winner?
Yes, but she
still
claims that she's the youngest.
I think that she's the youngest female.
Oh, has she changed that?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit like the Children of Men thing where there's like the new youngest person. It's like, like, okay, we've got a new youngest person today. His inspiration in life is Jesus and Ronald Reagan.
Some people say they're the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hey, look, that's good. It's at least the New Testament. That's what I'm looking for. Okay. Survivor contestant that you most are like. I don't want to play like any past Survivor, but then he does say, however, I do respect Randy Bailey.
Okay, and that is an answer you appreciate.
Yes. Well, that I think we all appreciate that answer.
And we love Randy.
Will is also, we know he's a big Survivor fan in the interview that he just posted, that Josh Wigler just posted, that he was excited to be talking to Josh Wigler.
Oh.
He says,
fangirling?
Yes, yes. He says that Josh Wigler is his favorite interviewer. And he listens to Josh Wigler talk about Survivor and Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So very good.
Yeah.
Good job on Will. Wise beyond his years.
Yes, yes. Although, can we talk about his awkward B-roll?
Awkward B-roll. But there's a lot of awkward B-roll in these videos.
There was a lot.
I'm sure Corinne will explore this fully in a couple of weeks. But yes, let's...
Who is he talking to on the opposite end of that phone call?
Oh, well, I thought that was sort of like a original Survivor Greg Buis reference.
He hung up and he was pissed.
Of the coconut phone. I thought that's what he was going for. So I thought that was a little bit of a nod to his Survivor knowledge, but maybe I might be interpreting that as there's something there where maybe there's not.
I bet you he's going to roll with that even if it wasn't.
Okay, that's a good... look, Rob has a PR firm. No, but I'm 98% sure that's what he was going for. But here's Will. And again, relatively short bio, especially for the 18-year-old. We saw Julia Sokolowski. I believe she was 19 last season. I thought that she fared relatively well last season. Again, I think that this is another mature 18-year-old. Do you want to disqualify him yet from potentially being the winner because of the fact that he's 18 years old?
Why would I do that?
I'm just saying that that maybe you might say like, oh, no way he wins. He's but 18 years old.
No, I think that he could win.
Yeah. No, I thought he comes off as very mature in this group.
Yeah. And that deep voice really distracts you from things.
He seems like a nice, humble kid to come into the game. And I think that that is going to help him. And I think that the place where the Gen Xers, I think, are going to come to loggerheads with these millennials is the millennial that's like, hey, I'm 23 years old, man. I know everything.
Yeah, and if he's not a threat to them.
And yes, he comes across as very unassuming and very non-threatening of like, hey, I'm just a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like Eric
Take
Reichenbach
me under your wing.
The first time around where, you know, Eric is going to run into some problems. But I think that he was very well received by the favorites in that like, hey, take me under your wing. I'm an unassuming kid. And I think that people will pick him up along the way. So I think that both the millennials will look at him as like, hey, come here, I'll take you under my wing. And, this is awesome. You're 18 years old. This
Everything
is, great.
Is awesome.
You're going to have the time of your life out here. And then I think also the Gen Xers will look at him as like, he's probably not much older than their kids.
Yeah.
And I think that he's going to be set up well.
I think the Gen Xers are going to like him because he's not quite the egotistical millennial.
Yeah, I think that he's going to be just well-liked. I think that both the people in both within his tribe and in the other tribe, I think that people are going to feel like that they can take him in and there's nothing that's threatening about him. I guess unless that voice, if you ran into him at night, like, hello, what are you doing here? Yeah, so he's good.
Where are you going at night where you hear that voice?
I don't know, but it would scare the hell out of me if I just like heard it. Like,
okay, well, Dominic in the hallway scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, everything scares me. But no, he's got a great announcer voice.
Yeah.
Great voice.
Great voice or podcasting.
Yes, yes. Okay, don't put me out of business. Mm-hmm. Look, it was like, come on.
Okay.
Knock it off, Will. All right. So, but I overall, I feel very good.
Yeah.
I feel very good here.
Yeah, good. Me too.
I mean, better than I should feel, just sort of like
the
bio.
An
18-year-old out here on Survivor.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the fact that he says that while he is a very religious person, that he will ask forgiveness from God later, which I think is the way that you do want to play this. Mm-hmm. I think he also says that he will find other people who are religious and he can play that up. And I think that that sort of sets him up well here with Michelle as a potential ally.
I don't know. I feel like Michelle is not going to be digging this because I don't think she can manipulate him.
Well, can he manipulate her? That's the question.
Yeah.
So I feel...
Yeah, I guess so.
So I feel good about Will on that front. And I think that he's going to come into this game. He's going to, as long as, you know, he doesn't get sort of awestruck in the moment of, hey, oh my God, I'm on Survivor. What is this?
Yeah. And, how is he going to do in the challenges?
Yeah, but I think that that's not going to be an issue for him.
In my head, I feel like he's like 6'4".
He is, I think, a tall guy.
Yeah.
So I think he is set up to do well. You know, I don't know necessarily if he's a winner, but I could see him going, you know, top six.
Yeah, but look at him in that picture. He's very far from that tribe.
Yes, okay. He's nervous.
Yeah, he hasn't been next to a girl.
I mean, he went from, he was in high school.
Yeah.
You know, he went from eighth period to Survivor.
He went from study hall to Survivor.
Yeah, so cut him some slack, Nicole.
No, I'm just saying, this is what I noticed.
Stop being a bully.
Well, that's what I am.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a mean Gen Xer bully. All right. Soon to be one day my Gen X wife.
What? Aren't I already your wife?
Just what's it getting? Like the coffee wearing off? I'm not like rolling with these anymore. All right. One more person to get through, Nicole.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about Zeke. Everybody's talking about Zeke. Here he is, the millennial Zeke from Brooklyn. Brooklyn in the house.
Brooklyn represent.
Yes, representing. Stephen Fishback ran into him on the street the other day.
He Get out of here. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Nicole, do you remember Zeke, that the former title of Rob has a gay correspondent, that he wrote some blogs for us? Yes.
I love him.
You love him?
I love him.
Yes. Okay,
but
good.
But not from being a correspondent. I had no idea he was a correspondent.
Yes, so.
You know what had me fall in love?
What's that?
Of him in the puddle.
Yes. Muddy puddles. Like, yeah. He was way into it. Now, he has one of the greatest bio videos I think that we've ever seen.
His B-roll is amazing.
Yes. So if you haven't watched the video, that he is sort of rolling around like a pig in the mud.
I loved it so much.
It's great. He's like in the ocean, like throwing the water up in the air. Certainly, you know, you get very quickly that Zeke is going to be a character.
Oh, I loved it.
And he tells you, he's like, I'm going to be, you know, you're going to hate me at first, but then you're going to love
me. And that's exactly what I thought. At first I was like, oh no, not this guy. And then as he was flailing around in that puddle, I fell in love.
Yes. Yeah. No, he's really fun, I think.
Look at that stash.
Yes.
That is a stash.
You love it.
I love it.
You love it. That he is sharp, devilish, and unstoppable. His pet peeves is sniffing, chewing with your mouth open, black shoes with brown belts, and children who don't listen to their mothers. Also, yeah, one of your pet peeves.
It is.
Yeah. What does it mean to be a millennial? He says, to be perfectly honest, I have never thought of myself as a millennial. Ask one of the other children.
I love it.
He's, I think, the self-loathing millennial.
I love it.
Yes, which I think is fun.
Yes.
So he's the millennial, I think, who is going to bag on the idea of being a millennial, mm-hmm, make fun of the other millennials. Your inspiration in life is Joan Rivers. She told Helen Keller jokes into her 80s. The woman lived.
Yes.
And they asked him about, what do you want to take on the island? Hairspray. He says, for fire making, but actually to keep my hair high and tight. Coffee. And an industrial-sized vat of peanut butter. And this is where he loses you, right, Nicole?
Yeah, sorry.
Nicole hates peanut butter.
I hate it.
Survivor contestant that you are most like. He says, Tony. He says, I mean, I'm not personally like a cop from New Jersey. I would never
all
lie.
Right, first of all, that accent is like half Indian right now.
Stop it. He says, where Tony and I intersect, another typical Jersey guy, he intersects is our unbridled passion for Survivor. He came to lie. He came to manipulate, make big moves. He says, on day 39, he will leave no one doubting that he played the spear game. Seriously, New Jersey? Yes. So he's really bagging on New Jersey.
Well, he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah. All right. So he's tough as nails. They try to tear me down. And he says people fascinate him. So he says also, hopefully all those hours and years spent watching Survivor and listening to Survivor podcast will yield at least some aptitude for the game.
Yes.
Let's see what you got, Zeke. Okay, yes. Nicole. How do you feel like Zeke is going to integrate with the rest of the millennials?
I feel like he can kind of be like a chameleon almost, where he's just going to talk a lot of crap at the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like he is life of the party here.
He will be life of the party. He'll keep everybody laughing. And I think that he'll save the craziness for us.
Yeah. I think the key for Hannah has to be Zeke.
Stick with him.
Zeke. I think that he's sort of, and hopefully that his humor is received well by this group. Have to hope that it is. You know, it can be very boring. It can get, you know, demoralizing out there. So if Zeke can keep things fun, and if Hannah can sort of get in good with Zeke, I think that that could be good. Although maybe it could be too much.
What, his humor?
No, I think that, you know, the combination of, like, if he's funny and she's funny, and I think that sometimes, like, you know, they're sort of, like, trying to, like, one-up each other and top each other. I think that that could sort of
get
on people's nerves.
I think it's going to be great, though, that I don't think that the rest of the cast is going to realize he's making fun of them.
No, probably not. No, I think he's going to have a really good social game.
Oh, totally.
I think he's going to really be appreciated here well. And especially the fact that he can sort of make fun of the millennials. I think that's going to serve him well with the Gen Xers. I think the Gen Xers are going to trust a mustache.
How could you not? That is a stash.
Yes. So I think that he's going to fare well here in this group.
And unlike everybody else, I don't think he takes himself so seriously.
No, I think he's there to have fun.
Yeah. And I feel like that is like, that's how you win.
That's okay. All right. So, Nicole, feeling good about the Zeke?
Yes, I got the Zika virus.
Oh! Too soon?
No.
No, no. All right, all right. That might be the hashtag right there, Nicole.
No, you're going to click on that and you're going to sense it. Oh, really?
Well, I think you have to spell it Z-E-K-E-A? Zekia? Okay. All right, Nicole. So there are the 10 millennials here. I don't want to ask you too much about your winner pick, if you think they're going to come from this tribe or the other
make,
one.
I didn't make my winner pick yet.
Okay, so you haven't really gone through it. Have you started to look at the Gen X bios?
Just very briefly. And really, I looked at the Jeff Probst intro or whatever it's called.
Yes. Jeff has done the cast assessment already?
No. It wasn't. It was just the Survivor with Jeff talking, and it like kind of introduced everybody.
Yeah. I have watched all the videos on CBS.com. I watched them the night that I did the preview of the season podcast with Josh Wigler. So I'll watch them all again before we get into doing our Gen X preview. But there's definitely some fun people as well in the Gen X group. So I am looking forward to
maybe
going
I'll actually
that.
Watch this season.
Oh, Nicole, look at you. Wow.
Yeah, only because I have the Zika virus.
Yes. Yes. God forbid. Nicole. Yeah. Did you made that up?
I did.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Okay. You had some good lines tonight.
I'm on fire.
Yeah. Look, it took 13 seasons. Boom.
And 13 cups of coffee.
13 cups of coffee. One cup of coffee for every preview.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why we need barista Hannah in the mix.
No, we don't need her because we make our own.
We make are our the barista. Own. Yes. We've put her out of business.
Sorry.
Sorry, with our ninja coffee maker.
Mm-hmm, the best thing
that's
ever.
That's just constantly going here. Mm-hmm. All right, Nicole. So this was so
Dominic
much fun.
Dominic told me today, he's like, I'm drinking coffee.
No, you're not. No, you're not. All right, so we had a lot of fun here tonight.
Yes.
All right, so in the real time of this, that we will probably be back recording this Gen X preview. It'll be only one day for us, but it'll be about a week of virus for you guys. We will be...
Not as funny.
No, definitely not. So we are going to probably be bringing this for you guys about just to try to milk this a little bit.
Yeah.
We have 4 weeks to go until we get to Survivor Millennials versus Gen Xers. The Gen Xers can wait. They're used to their patient people. The Millennials, they need that instant gratification. right?
Spoken like a true Gen Xer.
Yes, we can wait for things. We know, you know, we just have to wait.
Back in our day.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to wait for stuff. Everything, it wasn't like, oh, Netflix, everything. Oh, Liz doesn't need this on demand.
Mm-hmm.
Like you watched a show and then you waited a week for the next episode.
Yeah.
And that's what this is going to be like.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to make a Zika virus hashtag?
Yes.
All right, are people going to get offended by that?
Why?
I don't know. People like you know, people have a Zika virus. You know, it's a thing.
But this is Zika.
Yeah, okay. All right, so no offense.
No offense to those infected with the terrible virus.
Yes, yes. A lot of people are, you know, trying to do a lot to protect people out
there. Yes, this one does not give you microcephaly.
Okay, well, look at you.
Well, this is my profession.
Yes. All right. So that's that. We love to hear your feedback on robhasawebsite.com and let us know what you think about our cast assessment. We don't have really a ton to pull from on these where, you know, we're used to in the last couple of seasons. Well, especially with Cambodia, Korong was very similar to this. We really just have a bio right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a couple of interviews have come out that Josh and Gordon Holmes have done. So, again, we're pretty early in the game doing this preview.
Yeah, and we just make crap up about people.
Yeah, we'll see. And, of course, Corinne is going to come barreling through at some point in the next couple of weeks.
Destroy you all.
Yeah, yeah. This is just, the warm-up act for that. Coming up here in a couple of weeks as well. So if you are enjoying what you're hearing here today and would like to hear more, especially if you'd like to hear that weekly podcast with Nicole, the first lady of podcasting.
Trust me, it's worth it.
All right. And you like that sort of stuff and you want more, you can always become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information on that. We do greatly appreciate it, and looking forward to being back with you guys for the next part of our preview, the Gen X preview. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye, guys.
Bye.